Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, you're listening to a 4 and 1 more episode of Known For, a filmography podcast.
On these episodes, we pick a topic every month.
Every other month. Yep.
And we choose our top 4 personal favourites and an extra one, like a bonus. Something interesting or maybe different about it that you might not have known that we think you should check out.
Not just our like fifth choice.
Yeah.
An interesting choice and why it's worth watching if it sounds interesting to you.
Yeah.
And we should introduce ourselves. This is Bob Shoy.
Hey, I'm Becca.
So should we just get straight into it or what?
This episode, we chose the topic of Westerns.
Well, this was kind of your choice, really.
It's something close to my heart.
You're a big fan of Westerns.
Yeah. I think that's my mum's fault. She's a big Westerns fan as well.
I've watched much more Westerns.
Yeah.
Since knowing you.
That's not a bad thing.
I think before I met you, I'd only seen maybe Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Right.
And maybe like Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
And that would be like possibly a couple more maybe.
In the past few weeks though, we've sort of like sought out like...
Just a couple of the ones that we'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Are there any other classics that we've missed?
Mopped up a few good ones that sort of slipped us by over the years because we've been watching Westerns for a long time
now. Every now and then we go for a bit of a phase and we'll like binge Westerns for like a couple of weeks.
They've got like such a unique vibe to them, I think.
Yeah.
I find them really interesting because they always seem so like otherworldly and like old, but when you actually think about it, it's like 150 years ago.
That might seem like interesting for American listeners who listen to the show to get someone from the UK's viewpoint on a Western. They do seem like maybe the way they see like a medieval setting.
Right.
To us, it's sort of like a completely other world.
Yeah, like it's really weird. And
it's very mythical.
To think that at the same time period that these were going on, like what was happening in the UK, it was like basically
completely
like
different.
Industrial Revolution, wasn't it? I think like Victorian.
Depending on what era Western, like turn of the century.
They run for quite a while, but just like the absolute polar opposite.
Mm.
Happenings.
Sometimes you get the stuffy Brit turn up in one of these Westerns and he's always like suit,
gentrified,
pocket watch and things.
Yeah. He's like, what are you heathens up to?
Yeah, I'm just documenting. But yeah, I do like Westerns now. You've like won me over to Westerns because what I always say to you is like, there's not really any bad Westerns. Mm. Even sort of one of the not so good ones is still very watchable.
Yeah.
That's why they put them on in the afternoon on British telly, like classically flipping through the channels before everyone just could have watch anything anytime. But I always remember just flicking through the channels and there'd be a Western on in the afternoon because I watch that. Like it's just, they're easy watching and they sort of all, they do meld together a little bit, which is why sometimes picking your favourite, you really dig through and go, what ones do I like and why do I like them?
Mm.
And obviously the two big names in Westerns are Clint Eastwood and John Wayne.
Yeah.
And people seem to have a preference of one or the other.
Yeah.
We'll sort of talk, I'm sure.
So John Wayne came like first, didn't he? He was like
black and white.
A little bit earlier on. And then
Clint was like the bad boy of the Westerns.
Yeah, and like amazingly, Clint is still like in films still and is going. Still directing.
Clint, please retire.
So he's sort of like a survivor, which is really cool. So,
and then, yeah, so they're the big two who would seem to have a preference, but I'm sure that we've both got films from at least one of them enough. So we'll talk about them as they come up. And then there's a few other sort of recurring names of the era. But
so you go first then. What's your number four? So we'll work backwards.
You want me to go first?
Yeah. I want to know what you put.
Okay, well, I have to say, I did three different lists. I've revisited this.
Like, there's too much to choose from, and they're honestly, like, even though they're all in the same genre, they're so unique.
I'm just going to say that I feel like if I ever listen to this in the future, I'll be like, why did I pick those? This is just how I'm feeling tonight. I just completely wrote a new list tonight, cause it's just based on my instincts of how I feel tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I feel I'm even surprising myself looking at it now, but let's just run with it. My number four, High Noon.
Oh, okay.
Is it on your list?
No.
Okay.
I'm glad it's on yours though.
This was like a real last minute addition.
Okay. Why do you like slip it in there?
I just think it's so unique. It's such a simple premise. It's just like, you know, bad guys are rolling into town, like half the Westerns, but it's like it almost runs in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And since watching this, I feel like it's a film I reference all the time.
Right.
And I still don't know many films that are like this and just the pacing.
Is it something that you reference all the time, or do you feel like it's referenced in like every day and you didn't realize until you watched it?
I don't know. I've definitely compared other things I've seen to this since I've seen this.
Okay.
I'm like, I when I see something that runs in a similar like pattern and its timing, I go, it reminds me of High Noon. It's like High Noon. It's like real time, like High Noon.
Yeah.
Because we watched a film recently and I said it was like High Noon. Do you remember? Like I said, what was it? I said they're getting turned down every step along the way and... Oh, it was 2 Days, 1 Night, Marion Cotillard.
Right.
That film is, that felt like a modern version of this.
Okay,
so basically in this, the guy who is, he's getting married, he's going to leave town, but these bad guys are rolling in. I'm going to really just like shorten the synopsis down. But these bad guys are rolling in basically, and he knows they're coming.
On the noon train.
And he's got like an hour and a half basically to try and rally as many people to stand by him when they roll into town. And the whole film... basically in real time is him going door to door
asking
to
for
the
support.
Church, to the barber, to the people at the bar, and saying, will you stand with me when this person comes in? And and him having the chance to like leave it all behind and just let them roll into town, because he's leaving anyway, he's getting married, but him not having to stand by his convictions and like, I've got to face these guys
even though no one supports him.
I've got to face these guys, they're coming into town.
He keeps getting turned down for help,
and he's just, you know, turned down all the way through. And when we watched 2 Days, 1 Night, that's what really reminded me of this, because she in that film, she is
door to door,
will you vote for me to like not get the sack?
Amazing.
And it feels like this. So I just, the unique
pathos,
I almost had this as a one more because I like it because of its uniqueness. But I think I just like it a lot because it's so different, and it's not exactly that interesting because it is just him going, hi, will you help me? No. Okay. For like an hour and a half, and then a shootout.
But it's a real slow burn, isn't it?
Because it's not almost a long film.
Because it does cut between like him and then the guys waiting for the train.
Oh yeah, every now and then you cut
like
to the guys.
Baddies.
But you see the clock. It keeps cutting to the clock, so you can see how much time's coming. You've got a clock ticking the whole way through. Really interesting film for like how old it is. It's conceptually, it's so interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's my number four.
Okay.
I'm happy with that now. Now I've reasoned with it out loud. I'm like, yeah, that's a good choice. I'm happy now. What is your number four?
My number four is The Shootist.
The Shootist. Okay.
So we actually only watched this one recently. I hadn't seen it before, but it is John Wayne's last film.
Yes.
And I found it really poignant because it's kind of a reflection of John Wayne himself. Like they both... like his character and John Wayne had cancer. So he's playing kind of a guy who's seen many, many sunsets out on the plains. And he's a very weathered man, and he's sort of come into town, quite a notorious guy, and sort of plonked himself down at this woman's like kind of B&B, almost like bed and breakfast place. And once you find out who he is, she's like, no, you can't stay here. Yeah, like, you're going to, like,
he's no good.
Cause,
he's
like, a ruckus.
A
like,
notorious gunman.
Yeah. But he's just like, don't worry. Like, I'll pay you double what your room's worth and for your trouble and stuff because I'm dying.
The reason he's gone to that town is because he wanted the medical advice of the doctor from that town because they're old friends and he didn't trust.
Yeah. And the doctor is another amazing actor in Westerns, James Stewart.
Yes.
They cross paths a few times throughout their career.
Well, they have one like very famous film together and this feels like a little reuniting of the two. And James Stewart is almost like, I think of him as like the third Western star. You've got like Clint Eastwood and John Wayne, and then like James Stewart's done has his fair share of Westerns as
well. So it's quite nice to see them both as like old men, kind of at the end of their careers and their lives, kind of supporting one another. But it's also about inspiring like the younger generation. So like the woman he ends up like staying with at Airbnb, he kind of like takes her son under his wing a little bit and like teaches him to shoot and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, you don't need to drink. You don't have to be like drinking alcohol all the time to be a gunman. You should be clear-headed.
Yeah. So I really love that. Like the sentiment of the film was kind of a really nice like send-off.
It's very like slow paced because it is this guy's twilight and he's just there to have his last days.
He's just like in this...
And he runs into people
like, he's
met
small town
throughout his life.
Yeah, you kind of get like little snippets of like his life that's passed.
It's really a nice film. And like you said, John Wayne himself was like, and it kind of feels like it is, he's playing the character. It's like if all his old films had been the same character.
He embodies.
They even shows clips of him younger in his older films as he's like remembering them and stuff, which is so cool.
Mm. And spoilers, like the final shootout is really emotional.
Mm.
So that's my number four.
Yeah, interesting choice. I feel like our number fours were like interesting choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number three, you go.
My number three, this is John Wayne again. This is the one I consider John Wayne's epic.
Right.
The Searchers.
Okay. Nice.
Is this on your list?
No.
I think this film is really cool.
Yeah.
This is, of all the old John Waynes, this is the one where I think, like I said, this is...
Classic.
The epic John Wayne.
Classic Western. It's got all the elements.
It's very sprawling. It's got, you know, he's got like Rio Bravo like as well, where he's defending a town and things like that. You've got all these other types and he's...
This one, they're just like on the trail.
This
they're
one
like
is just there. Yeah,
pounding the pavement. Like,
this girl's been kidnapped and they're going after her and they're just...
On the trail.
It's just them on the trail for weeks and weeks, tracking down this girl, searching for this girl. They are the Searchers.
Yeah.
And until... Ooh, maybe even last year, the year before, I'd never seen a John Wayne Western.
Okay.
Do you remember? We were talking about Westerns. I think Red Dead Redemption 2 had come out and I was like getting the itching to watch some more Westerns again.
Mm.
And this one was recommended by one of our friends, Arthur.
Right.
I said, what's some Westerns you love? And he was like, The Searchers is like my favourite.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, I've never seen it. And I was like, I've never actually watched a John Wayne one. And I just binged a load of John Wayne Westerns and realised, oh, actually, John Wayne's pretty fucking great. He's in some really good Westerns.
So good.
I always thought he was really cheesy, and some of the films are, but I like him.
Mm.
And this was the one, like, it lived up to Arthur's hype of it for me. I'm like, yeah, this is the John Wayne epic Western.
Yeah.
To me, it's his high point.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, love
it. I love, like, when you just get those, like, sprawling landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
The music, and it's, like, just quiet. Like, I feel like films sometimes now just have to fill the space, but I feel like Westerns like embody that space, like just there's no talking
of the journey.
Yeah, and even sometimes it's just like there's like barely any dialogue sometimes in some scenes, and it's just like people, like a look can say, you know, what everything that needs to be said in that moment. And I just really love that, like the stillness of it, but they're on like the journey.
It feels to me as well that there's like, we said Westerns couldn't meld together, but there's like maybe three or four types of Western. Like, what feel has this got? Well, this is like, we're searching for someone, we're tracking something down.
Yeah.
There's defending the town. There's bounty hunters.
Right, yeah.
Bringing a guy to like order. There's like moving between states for some reason. We have to move a herd of cattle. We have to move a village to somewhere else. I have to defend a family as we move them. It's transport stories.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's another. They're the four like modes of Western that I think of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably others, but Yeah. So that's mine, yeah, The Searchers.
Nice.
What's your next one?
My number three is Django.
Django Unchained. So you're considering this a Western?
Yeah.
I think this is a bit of a cheat, but okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a cheat. It's not like classic Western. It's a really cool, like, modern Western. But there are shootouts in it.
Yeah.
There are cowboys in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we talked about this one, quite a lot on the Quentin Tarantino pod. But I really like it as, like, a modern portrayal of, like, gunslingers, mm-hmm. because they're, like, not traditional at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
Well, even the setting isn't traditionally, like, the West.
Mm. But even in some Westerns, we've sort of seen more, like... It's kind of at the end of the, like, quote-unquote Westerns era.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of towards the end where there's more, like infrastructure and stuff and things like that. And there's a lot more, like, gentrification that's coming in. But yeah, I love the shootouts and I love the characters and I love that it's not quite a traditional Western. And that's why I like, that's why I've just chucked it in there.
I actually thought you were going to include this, but right. I thought you were going to put it as your plus one because it's my plus one because it's not really a proper Western.
Right.
But you've just straight up included it in there.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going for it. I'm guns blazing.
All right. So you like it. It's just up there for you.
It's
as
just
like
a really good
It's
film.
Like an alternative.
Yeah.
Western.
Mm.
I love the film. It's not on my list. It's a cheat.
Right, number two.
Okay, my number two. Unforgiven.
Oh.
This is my favourite Clint Eastwood Western.
Oh my God, cool.
Mm-hmm. Which might be a shocking revelation as to what's not on my list.
Right.
Obviously, Clint Eastwood is the grizzled Western star. And this might have been the first Western I watched because I wasn't really a Western guy. So I probably watched this just cause it was like a big film.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a more modern film. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll watch that. Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, who else in it? Gene Hackman. Yeah.
I was like, Richard Harris.
Yeah. I'll check this out. And I remember just loving it. And part of that is the novelty of, like, I'd never really seen a Western because I just didn't watch them growing up. And it plays a lot on the fact that it is like Clint Eastwood as an older man.
Yeah.
And he's just like, doesn't want to get back into things, but he's sort of, his hand is forced.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that it's just this old man Western.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like, kind of like, it's his version of The Shootist almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, this holds a place in my heart for being the first that I watched, really, and...
Sort of like got opened your eyes like a bit more.
Yeah,
to
it made me go, oh, actually, westerns can be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, it still does. So I haven't watched it for quite a few years. I would be interested to see how much it holds up, but in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I love Unforgiven.
Yeah. Nice. It's really good. Yeah. It's got a different vibe to it, though, I think.
It's quite like I find all Clint Eastwood films, his westerns are very different to the others because they're all just a bit like more raw,
yeah.
A bit gnarlier.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of people love them. They're like, yeah, that's the real shit. That's
And some like are like kind of conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit.
Oh, the trilogy he did with the Josie Wales, Pale Rider, High Plains Drifter.
Yeah.
I find that like, I find them as a piece. I don't know if that's a thing, but when I watched them recently, I was just like, this feels like its own trilogy.
Yeah.
It feels like I think it's intentional. I didn't really look it up, but when I watched them with you, I was like, is this heaven, hell and purgatory?
Yeah.
Is that the themes of these films?
Yeah, I think like his films gotta be. Are like more interlinked a little bit. Mm.
And I would actually say, it's not on my list, but it would have been close. My second favourite Clint Eastwood isn't the big one either. It's Josie Wales. Mm-hmm. Outlaw Josie Wales. Okay. I think that's a really cool film, but I won't talk about it in case any of these are on your list. But yeah, so my number two, Unforgiven.
Right, so my number two is... Good, Bad and the Ugly.
Okay, so I thought it was going to be high up for you, so I didn't.
Oh man, this film.
Yeah.
There's like, well, for me, there's like one that tops it, but I think it's more like super sentimental.
I'd be really interested to see what that is.
Because this
for
is
you.
My number two, but it's such a good classic Western. All the parts are there, like the mysterious gunslingers, mm-hmm. like the shootouts, like across the plains, like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I do really like it.
Mm.
I don't know why It never clicked with me as my absolute favorite. It would probably be my top 10.
Yeah.
But it just didn't make my top four.
I think this is one of the early ones that I saw, definitely. Yeah. So maybe because it has that, I don't know, sentimental, like you said, it's sort of one of the ones that I saw and it was oh my God, Westerns are fucking cool.
Of the Sergio Leone spaghetti western Man with No Name trilogy, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah,
I think they're all really good films.
The bit at the end,
the shootout's
so
amazing.
Good.
The three-way shootout, that's what it's all about. And the three guys, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they're all really cool.
And it's just super iconic.
Yeah,
I don't think you can talk about westerns without sort of including this.
No, and I'll be honest, I almost didn't include it because I knew you would.
Yeah,
it may have been my number four.
Okay.
I was considering when I put High Noon, I was High Noon's a bit more interesting, I'll do that, but it was close. I was considering putting this one in.
I'm glad that we each chose both of these because they're really good.
I actually thought this would be your number one.
Mm.
But I
love the shots of just it's almost a letterbox and it's just their eyes looking.
Oh, and how can we not talk about the soundtrack?
Oh, no.
The soundtrack's absolute classic.
And this is one that really embodies a look, mm-hmm. and or silence.
Yeah, that it's a yellowy brown. Everything about it is a yellowy brown tint.
And all the, I think just the look of it is super iconic, mm-hmm. the outfit and
the poncho.
Definitely.
And the other guy's Tash.
Mm.
What's the actor called?
Lee Van Cleef.
Yeah, Lee Van Cleef. Yeah, his Tash. I love Lee Van Cleef. And he's a Western, so he's so... sinister.
Yeah. This was Clint at his, prime.
Yeah. This is definitely. I'm cool. I'm the sexy bad boy cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolute classic.
I love it. So good.
So we're up to our number ones.
Yeah.
Oof. Plowed through this. This might be the swiftest we've ever done one of these.
Oh, my God. Just because, it's hard to talk about Westerns without, giving big spoilers away, I think. And, obviously you want people to go and watch them, but...
Yeah. Well, also, we always talk about a few others at the end, so don't worry.
Yeah. Just, gushing. Just, I love it.
My number one. I'm really interested as what your number one is. Really, really not sure what it'll be. My number one...
Right.
...is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, nice.
That's my favourite Western.
That's cool.
And I only watched this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I was just I would always heard it was good.
Yeah.
It's always on these top lists and stuff. But I was like, yeah, I'll get around to watching it. And when I watched it, I was like, God, I just fucking loved it. I just loved it. I was so enwrapped. I loved the plot.
It's got double bubble, John Wayne, James Stewart.
I didn't want to give it away when you mentioned them reuniting in The Shootist.
Yeah.
But this was their big film together. And it is like the turn of the Wild West into a more democratic society.
Yeah.
And, James Stewart's character wants this democracy to form.
Yeah.
We can't just go around shooting.
Mm. But John Wayne's kind of you'll never change the West.
Yeah, he's kind of with him, but kind of you can't change things around here. And they have this sort of uneasy friendship. And there's a shooting and he's sort of trying to calm the town down and say, no, we can still have a democracy. And it's the whole thing is his funeral.
Yeah.
So it's sort of it's told as a story. You're at the guy's funeral and it's being told as to the real story of what happened back then.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the events as they actually transpired.
Mm.
And they're not necessarily what everyone thought happened.
Yeah,
so it's great. You've got this just what really happened and how things changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How it's retold.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And
I was there, so.
Yeah, I really love Westerns in that setting where it's the end of the West.
Mm-hmm.
I really love stories set at that time.
Yeah.
Where it's cowboys dealing with towns wanting to become more civilized.
Yeah,
and law and
it's like the end of the era, and they're kind of they've been in it for so long, and
they don't
know
what to do of themselves.
Yeah, they don't know any other way.
Mm. Sometimes they rally against it, and they go wild, and they're shooting left, right, and center. Sometimes they're trying to uphold justice, with they turn on the side of people who want to.
It must be weird to have such change, and it did happen fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of in a really short period of time where a lot of towns started popping up that weren't just mud balls or whatever in the middle of nowhere, where you could just roll into town and without any consequences, kind of.
So when I was putting my list together, you know, I said, oh, they changed like three times. This was always my number one.
Right.
This was like number one with a bullet.
Mm. It's also in black and white, this one.
Is it all the way through black and white?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't even remember it being black and white. I just love it.
Yeah. It's one of the only ones we've talked about that's in black and white.
Oh, right.
Yeah, really cool. Amazing film. Good choice.
Thank you. And what is your number one?
My number one is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I love this film. Like, it's probably one of my favourite films ever, I think. Like, it was definitely high up there. I just, again, it's like really end of the cowboy, like, era.
I mean, what an awesome duo, yeah. Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Yeah. I love Robert Redford. He's so good in it. Hole in the Wall Gang, like their kind of band of outlaws. And it all comes like crashing down on them, like catches up with them. And they're like, shit, like we need to get out of here. And it's just about them like on the run and escaping.
It's on the run, but it's also very lighthearted and humorous. Yeah. And you know, raindrops keep falling on my head. And they're just like goofing around with this girl. And
yeah.
But at the same time, like they're on the run.
Yeah. It's a much later film than like most Western. It was filmed in 69, whereas most were sort of like 50s, 60s. So I think that's maybe why it's got a bit of a different tone to it.
Mm. But it's almost, it is like, it has, it's, I wouldn't say it's a pure, it's like a comedy almost.
Mm, yeah. And there is, they're kind of like limping along, like they're kind of, when they get...
Yeah, their days are numbered.
Yeah. When they get wounded and stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, we've always been together, kind of.
Mm.
And they're just kind of like, yeah, trying to make it, knowing how kind of futile that seems.
I don't want to give anything away, but I love the way it ends. I love the ending.
Yeah.
It's great.
Such a good film.
Another one I hadn't seen. Till you made me watch it. You introduced it to me. But yeah, no, this is a really good one. I can't believe I completely forgot about this one. Of course it was going to be your
number one. There's a good mix of like out in the wilderness and like different, there's lots of, there's, because they're in like shootouts in towns and stuff like that. And they're trying to basically escape to South America, aren't they? Trying to get to Bolivia, I think.
Oh, I can't remember.
But so there's quite a lot of like, you get the West, but then you get like different scenes and stuff like that. It's such a good film. Like their charisma together.
Oh yeah, oh, they were like best friends in real life, and I think that always shines through when they are paired up in films. Yeah. Like The Sting is another great example of that.
Yeah, and they're just kind of like you said, it's more like a light-hearted Western. They're both like kind of cheeky characters, as opposed to like a Clint Eastwood, where he's really like gritty and like raw like that. So I love the contrast between like the two.
With Clint, you've got like the gritty bad boy.
Yeah, he's like gnarly.
John Wayne, you've got like the no nonsense, let's get this done.
He's a bit more like a, I would say, inverted commas, like traditional.
Yeah, traditional cowboy. Yeah. No, but then I would say even James Stewart, maybe even more of like a typical cowboy. He's a real like cowboy guy, whereas like John Wayne is very like no nonsense.
Yeah, like James Stewart comes a bit more like lighthearted. The way he like portrays a cowboy. I think
I just realized, amazingly, we've got no overlap in our choices.
Oh my god.
And so I know that our plus ones will be different.
Okay,
because what I've chosen you definitely won't have.
Right, so what's your plus one?
My plus one is Bone Tomahawk.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
This is not for the faint-hearted. This is a fairly recent Western horror.
Okay.
With Kurt Russell. He's got his big Kurt Russell mutton chops left over from filming Hateful Eight. And it is, it's a really slow Western, really slow.
Yeah.
Until the last quarter.
Right.
And then it turns into an absolute horror show.
Right.
With terrifying, some of the most shocking images I've ever seen in film.
Is it like the tension's building the whole way through, though?
Kind of, but I never thought
it
would build up.
Because I've not seen it, because you watched it and you were like, it's a great Western, and then you'll just hate the end because you hate horror films.
It's absolutely shocking. I knew that it was kind of horrific going in. I didn't realise how much of a slow burn it would be to get there. Okay. And I didn't realise how extreme it would be when it got there.
Is it just like short and sharp, like...
No, it's not short and sharp.
No, because you say it's like the last like quarter or third or whatever.
Yeah, quarter, so there's third. Obviously it just goes to chaos,
right?
But the graphic shots don't like short, sharp cuts. It is like you're gonna watch this.
It's not like a Tarantino where it's like you can see him in pain and
no,
cut. Like
no.
Cut away.
It is like I'll cut this, but
like, oh geez,
and. Well, this tribe is nuts. It's almost supernatural. Like,
is it based on real stuff?
No.
Okay.
It's just nuts. I mean, I want anyone who watches it who's up for something that they've got a strong stomach for to go in and be as shocked as I was. Mm. So I don't really want to give anything away.
Because I think, like, this is just like Westerns in general. A lot of them, like, don't depict, like, the really, like, raw and horrific
stuff. In terms
of
like scalpings and things.
Yeah, and like a little bit, like I want to mention The Revenant like later on, but like that was kind of like quite harrowing, like in like the trials that he went through. Yeah, and it's super real, like that shit happened.
Yeah, this is real and then it's not.
Okay.
And then it's not.
So it's not for the faint-hearted.
Definitely not for the faint-hearted. If you've got a strong stomach and you want to watch a crazy like genre mashup of Western and horror with like Kurt Russell,
right?
Then this is the one to go for.
Okay.
I don't want to give anything more away than that. But Bone Tomahawk is my plus one.
Cool.
What's yours?
My plus one is it's a bit of a weird one. It's Winchester 73.
Oh, this was so close to being my plus one.
I chose it. It's a James Stewart. But it's really a unique Western because it basically follows the story of a gun.
Yeah.
Instead of like a man or whatever, like, yeah, it just
the main character's the gun.
Yeah, it just follows like who, because somebody wins it and then somebody steals it and like the gun's journey.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I mean, you're always following what James Stewart's character's up to, but the focus is like, where's the gun now? And whoever's got the hands on the gun is who you're primarily with. And he's trying to track it back down when it goes out of his sight because he wins it in a competition at the start. That's how it starts. I really like this film. This is my favourite James Stewart.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a little bit... everybody who like touches it is sort of like a little bit ill-fated, like kind of...
Well, everyone wants it it's like, oh, it's a Winchester 73. It's like, oh, this is the best gun around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, how'd you get your hands on one of those sort of thing?
So, yeah, it's really cool. It's got an amazing cast. Just a cool story, really.
It has a great shootout at the end as well on the rocks. Really cool shootout at the end.
Mm.
I always think of this as like one of my fave ending shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like two guys on either side of a big rock.
Yeah.
But it's just so cool because they're just like trying to get one off and it's glancing off the rocks.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
This is another like fairly early, so this was shot in the 1950s, so it's kind of like on the earlier scale.
It must
scale
be one of the early
of
colour ones.
It's in black and white.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I remember this one being in colour. James Stewart ones, like they're sort of half room black and white, half room colour.
It's this is, I think, one of the ones where James Stewart's like in his prime.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of people consider this the best James Stewart Western. I do as well.
Yeah.
Of the ones I've seen, I haven't seen all these Westerns. But.
So it's super interesting, like really cool take. And like kind of unique, like really for a Western.
I've said this to you as unique as a film. I said, I want to watch. I mean, if listeners have actually any recommendations for me, I said to you, we were walking around a museum last year and there was just a weird painting in this museum. And I was like, how did this painting get here? Like, who painted this? Why is this in this museum?
Mm.
And I was like, why don't they make a film where the main your character is
like
the item?
Yeah.
And you see it through the ages.
Yeah,
like 20 years, like when it gets set down somewhere, and it's like 20 years later until it's moved again. Then you see who it's with. And then I want to see a film with the main character as an item. Then we watch Winchester 73. And I was like, oh, weird. That's kind of the film I was talking about. But yeah, you don't see this very often. Or I can't think of another example where the item is the character. It's the main character.
Yeah.
Such an interesting idea.
So that's my plus one because I think it's unique and cool, interesting story.
Excellent. Great
and
list.
A good Western to boot.
Great list. I think we both had really good lists.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Were there any that were close? We'll probably got like 5-10 minutes. We can just talk about some others that were close for us.
Well, I did. I just briefly mentioned The Revenant, which I think like is worth a mention. Incredible film. Something we only watched recently when we did the Leo pod.
Yeah, I'd seen it before, but it was first time for you.
Super cool, like gritty, just absolutely harrowing, gnarly film, but really, I think, more true to life than most, like,
despite like
traditional
the superhuman
Western
feats that he survives.
Yeah. But like all the stuff about, because like a lot of the Westerns revolve around somebody just fucking somebody else over. Or like doing something shady or like stealing something.
Oh yeah, Tom Hardy's despicable in this.
Yeah, but his character kind of goes above and beyond. And it does show it in a more like realistic light. Like the West was, I mean, I wasn't there personally, but I think it was pretty like ruthless out there, like really lawless. And in this, I think you really get that vibe of it. Just no shits were given.
Another one I really love, this was really close for my number four, is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, yes.
Beautifully really shot. Really beautiful. Brad Pitt is the main character. He's Jesse James. And it is the story of his assassination by the Coward Robert Ford. And has an amazing soundtrack, amazing score. Like I've been listening to this fairly recently, just like on, it's just such a good soundtrack. And yeah, it's just beautifully shot. It's some people criticize it for being really slow, really boring, but that's
Westerns.
Western. It's a really cool Western.
I think people maybe watched it not who don't normally watch Westerns.
If you wanted a clue that the film was long and slow and potentially boring, the clue's in the title. The title is long and slow and potentially boring.
Yeah, it's got some good people in it as well. Casey Affleck, Sam Rockwell.
Yep.
Can't remember who else, isn't it? Some really
Casey
good
Affleck's Robert Ford, right?
Yeah.
And he's really sort of pathetic in it.
Yeah. Jeremy Renner's in it. Yeah, cool cast.
Really good film. And it is just about the last days of Jesse James. Spoilers, the clue's in the title, it's about his assassination. But yeah, this is a great, more modern Western. Really sort of overlooked.
Yeah.
And I think one of Brad Pitt's best films, actually. So that was a really close one. That was so close. In fact, on my original list, that was my number four.
Yeah, really good. I've got an honourable mention for Woman Walks Ahead.
Okay, that's a fairly recent film.
Yeah, I loved it. It's about
not a very popular film.
Really?
No, kind of badly reviewed. But I thought I quite enjoyed it.
I liked it because I think that you, like a lot of the older Westerns portray the Native American Indians in a poor light. Obviously, they're quite, they portray them in like a really ferocious like manner.
Because they're the bad guys in those old westerns.
Yeah, because they're the baddies. Obviously, you're like attacking them, stealing their land, raping their women, just all these atrocities. And then you're like, oh, well, how dare they? Anyway, that's another story. This one follows a painter from New York in 1890.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Playing her, am I right?
Yeah, Jessica Chastain. And she follows, she basically travels from New York, the character travels from New York to Dakota to paint a portrait of Sitting Bull.
Yeah. So it's about the painting of the Sitting Bull portrait, yeah.
Which I love because I think this is a little bit like what you're saying, like the history of an object, like a little bit, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
But, and also, like, I really love seeing how film portrays these famous characters. Like,
she really like gains a lot of respect for him and spending time with him and his people.
Yeah, and I think it's a really like unique perspective. And is it based on a true story? Well, I guess the painting is.
Yeah,
like,
probably one of them where it's like takes elements of truth.
Because yeah, Sitting Bull was like super. Really interesting character. And I think, like, again, like Jesse James, like following really big, like famous, like, I want to find out more about those famous characters, like in the time that they were around. So this one's really interesting. And it's, again, like a unique perspective. It's not like a classic Western.
No, another one that's just recent, that we watched recently, which has sort of another showing a more human side to Native Americans, is Hostiles.
Yeah.
Which I really, really liked.
Yeah.
I put off watching this for so long because I was like, I never really heard anything about it when it came out. Like, it can't be that good. And we watched it recently and I loved it. Yeah. I really, really loved it. It's Christian Bale, Rosamund Pike, and they have to transport this Native American to
chief.
He's basically dying. He's a chief, and they got to transport him. He's
and some
dying.
Some of his family.
They're taking him to a place where he wants to be his final resting place.
So on a reservation, I think they're transferring him to a reservation.
Exactly. And Christian Bale's character is a grizzled vet, and he's like, I don't want. I hate Native Americans. Yeah. I don't want to transport this guy. Really, but by the end they end up like working together, obviously, because that's what always happens in these when the numbers
throughout
start
their trials and tribulations. It's like the best. Like way to go forward is actually to band together and trust one another.
I had some great performances in, and I just had a really nice pace. It was slow, but it had a nice rhythm to it, the movement of the journey. And I love, like, Christian Bale is a great actor anyway.
Yeah.
I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I thought he was so good in this.
Seeing his character like break down his prejudice, which was really good.
Yeah. That's Hostiles.
Nice.
Before we start wrapping up, but if there's any others you want to quickly rattle off and why, then...
I am going to say, just quickly, like, Fistful of Dollars, and that's a really good Western, like, super classic one. And Pale Rider as well. Really, like, two Clints there, if you want some more...
bit more Clint.
Films,
if you want another old absolute classic, like, you know, I said about The Searchers being an absolute classic epic in scope.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in the West is another of those. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love this film. This was close to being on my list as well. All these are close to being on my list, but Once Upon a Time in the West, this is, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Tarantino film, the title was based off this because he says this is one of his favorite films of all time, Tarantino. The scope of it is just huge. It's about the railway coming through America and stuff, and it's just a really great, classic, long, epic Western. Watch this over the course of an afternoon.
Yeah.
I've got another two wild choices. These were both close for my plus ones. Back to the Future Part 3. Everyone hates this installment of Back to the Future. I love it. It's way better than number two. Obviously, it's not as good as number one. But it's a really fun Western. I don't understand why no one likes Back to the Future 3. It's really fun. And also, Westworld.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a really cool, interesting shout.
Yeah, cowboy robots that go mad. Like,
it's like Western sci-fi mashup.
Yeah, it's like Western sci-fi. It's Western Terminator.
Yeah.
So if you just want, you know, it's nice and easy breezy. It's like an hour and a half long. Just some robots going mad in the Wild West. And it's old. Like, for how old it is, it's still kind of a fun watch as well.
Yeah.
We only watched this 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, that's really fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel too dated, even though it's really old. So yeah, there's a couple of honourable mentions that I had there. And like I already said, Outlaw Josie Wales is probably my favourite classic Clint.
Yeah. Nice.
So great. Really good selection.
Yeah. I'm glad that we didn't like overlap on too many, because there's so many good ones and they deserve like a shout out.
Mm. So if you've got any suggestions for upcoming 411 Wars, like we say, we do one of these every other month. We sort of think about what topics we want to do. We've got a couple of ideas in mind. Let us know if you have any ideas that you would like us to do, any themes, or we've done directors, we've done like genres and studios. We did like Studio Ghibli and stuff. So any of that sort of thing, let us know. Mm-hmm. And you can contact us at knownforpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the website?
So the website is knownforpod.com.
And you can also contact us on there.
Yep.
And find links. You can find me on social media at Bob Shoy. That's at BobShoy. That's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on there fairly often.
Cool.
Upsetting people and also being friendly to people. I'm generally friendly on there. I like to talk to listeners on there as well.
So yeah, cool.
Yeah, and so next episode, we are halfway through recording our Keanu Reeves episode of
9-4.
That'll be up at the end of the month, in case you're not sure. The pod normally goes up on the last day of the month. And then we're going to be cracking on. We've actually finished watching the Keanu Reeves films now.
Yeah, we're
ready
to record
the second half of it. And we're about ready to start our Pam Grier episode.
Yep.
So,
looking forward to watching loads of her films.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a real mixed bunch in there, but yeah, it'll be fun.
And find out who your next actor is.
Yes, I've now decided. I had a real tough time deciding. It was between three, but I have now decided.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Enjoy Keanu in 2 weeks' time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.